The young ones can go to their appointed classes. Once again, thank you for being here today and being with us. If this is one of your first times to be at LifeGate Church, we so appreciate your coming and being with us and enjoying this great day, this Father's Day, but every day is a great day, right? But this one is a little special because we get to think about Father. And Father, our Father, God, Heavenly Father, plus our earthly fathers, our biological fathers as well. So it's just a great time, and thank you for being here. If you're not in a big hurry after the service, I'd love to meet you if I haven't. Love to shake your hand and just welcome you here. Know God wants to do some great things into your life like he's doing in ours, and you've got loved ones that you want to reach. We want to help you reach them. So thank you for being here with us today, and we're going to have fun. We're going to talk about the man of the house, okay, just a few minutes. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, that we get to come and listen to your word and ingest your word. And Lord, take it into our hearts, into our spirits, and our souls. We ask, Lord, that this would be a great time together, that we'll not only hear something, but we'll learn something and have knowledge and wisdom, and we can go out of here with some insight that we didn't come in with. Something will change in our life. So Lord, I ask you to bless us. Lord, I pray that every person here will have anointed ears, that they'll be able to hear what the Spirit says. I pray for myself that I will be able, Lord, to not talk too fast or too slowly. I'll be able to say what you want said the way that you want it said. And I'll be able to bless and minister to your people. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Well, good. Well, it is Father's Day. Can I get all the dads, all the fathers to stand? And let us just appreciate you one more time, please. Just stand for me. Hallelujah. Great. That's great. Thank you. Be seated. I had a very good dad. He was a very loving gentleman. For those of you who know what I'm talking of here, he was an ox temperament, a very high ox temperament. And he loved my mother. He loved me. He loved my sister. He was a good father. I hope you had or have a good father. I hope that he was more than just a biological father for you, that he did more than sire you, but that he was a father. He fathered you. You are blessed if you had a father that fathered you. Now, there's a difference of a male and a father. You can produce children if you're a male, but you have to be a father to father children. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. And I pray that you today will talk to your dad somehow, some way, if he's living. Perhaps he was only a biological father for you. Perhaps he only sired you. But I promise you that if you will do the right thing, it will bless you. The Bible says that it's the first promise. It's the first commandment with promise. And what the apostle is referencing there is to honor your father and your mother. If you will call them or go by and see them, it will add days to your life. That's the blessing that you get just by honoring them as you live longer. So don't shorten your life by not honoring your father and your mother. I told you a while back about an experience that I had at Walmart. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was relaying this to you. I was in Walmart, and I had something that happened continuously to me. And it was so obvious and stuck out so much that it really got my attention. And it repeated itself about five times. Now, I never stay in Walmart very long. I'm like most guys. I know what I want. I go get it, and I'm out of there. And I'm probably in Walmart about 15 minutes. And so in this period of time that I was there, I saw man after man after man, at least five times, really taking time and taking loving care of their children. I remember one who was taking his child and setting him or her, I couldn't tell for sure, I think it was a her that I'm thinking about, into the push cart and strapping the child in and doing it with love and laughing. I saw another one carrying the carry-all little infant thing. I saw another one holding two children's hand and walking down the toy aisle. And so it was just amazing to me because what I was actually seeing and experiencing were men who are becoming fathers. They weren't doing it grudgingly. They weren't doing it like it was a chore. They were doing it with a smile on their face and a joy in their heart, and you could tell that they were really enjoying it. I have gotten over the last 6 years to watch my son-in-law become a father to his children and my grandchildren, and it's been a joy watching this take place. I get every day now to watch my son becoming a father to his son and my grandson. And it's amazing. You know, it's just a joy to watch these things take place. And I'm watching many of you young fathers becoming, you young men becoming fathers. And it's really a pleasure to me because I know what's really happening. You see, what's really happening is that men are becoming fathers, which means that houses are becoming homes. Let me say that again. Men are becoming fathers, which equates to houses becoming homes. And it's exciting to me to see this happening in our society. It's not just at our church, it's at Walmart. It's everywhere, you know. And it's fun and exciting to see this. And Psalms 128 kind of gives us several pictures, word pictures, of a happy home and a happy man in a home. And so here's my title today. My title is, This is How a Man is Happy. How many want to be happy? Yeah. This is how a man is happy. And it's taken directly from this psalm, and I'll point out the title to you. They say it in King James English, and I'm just saying it to you in modern English, but this is how a man is happy. So, what I want to read to you is Psalms 128, 1 through 6. Then I want to contrast that with Hosea 4, 6, which is where the opposite is going on. And then I want to come to a place, I want to talk about Psalms 128 a little bit, and then I want to come to a place where I can share with you what I think and what I see in the Scriptures and what I think is the primary thing, the primary challenge that a man will face in his home. And we talked last time about the primary challenge that a woman faces in her home. So I think it's only fair, don't you, to talk about us guys a little bit and what really challenges us to have a home and not a hell. So let's talk. Let's read Psalms 128, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll move on from there. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. So important. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be. Would you say that back to me? Happy shalt thou be. And it shall be well with thee. Thy wife will be as a fruitful vine at the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, and here's my title, that thus shall the man be blessed. Now what that simply means is this is how a man is happy. That thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, Zion the church, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem, the kingdom, all the days of thy life. You live in a blessed state. You live in a happy state. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Have a happy life and a peaceful life and a joyful life that continues. It's like an eternal happiness. And so, this is talking here about people who walk in the ways of the Lord. And it's in direct contrast of what we talked about last week and the week prior to that from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Now let me read that one to you and comment briefly. We've already discussed it, so I'm not going to do a whole lot here. But in Hosea 4, 6, God says, my people are destroyed. Not the enemy's people, not the devil's people, not the lost people, but my people. My people, Christians, are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Why are they destroyed? Lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. It's not that knowledge isn't available. It's not that knowledge isn't in your lap. It's not that knowledge isn't available to you. It's that knowledge is rejected. You have rejected knowledge. I also reject you as my priest. In other words, you can no longer minister to your wife or your children. You cannot minister to people you love. You cannot minister to people at work simply because you've rejected how to do it. You've rejected how to really, truly minister to people. So you've rejected knowledge. Therefore, I've rejected you as priest because you have ignored the law or the ways of your God. Now, ignore, we talked about that at depths. Ignore is ignorant. We become ignorant when there is available knowledge, but we reject the knowledge. It's not that we're stupid. It's not that we don't have brains. It's not that we can't think. It's that we have available information that will make our homes happy, but yet we have done is ignore it. And so therefore we are ignorant. And so when we become ignorant, then there are repercussions from that ignorance. When we ignore the ways of our God, I also will ignore your children. See, our being ignorant and ignoring the ways of God affects our homes, affects our children, affects everything. There is available information about it, but what's happened to us is that we've ignored it. We've rejected it. So, men, you're rejecting or ignoring the Word of God, and the way to have a godly home is going to affect your children and your wife and your life and your happiness. So, I want to tell you, no good thing is ever going to happen to you by ignoring the available information, by building your home in some way contrary to the way that God tells us to do it. Now, back to Psalms 128, which is where I want to spend some time this morning and talk about a few points. Psalms 128, verse 1 says, blessed. Say that back to me, please. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in His ways. That walk in His ways. Now, the word blessed there in the Hebrew is, I have it on the screen for you, is Isher or Isher. And what it means is happiness or how happy, exclamation mark. In other words, it's extreme happiness. Extreme happiness. Now, I want to talk to you guys just a second. How happy should a man be? Come on. Don't you think so? How happy should a man be? How happy should a husband be? How happy should a father be? Blessed, happy, extremely happy. It's talking about extreme happiness and happiness that lasts. Now, listen, you can have a short-term happiness, but if you're going to have an extreme happiness and a happiness that goes on, then we need to know some things, have some knowledge about some things, how to build our homes. Now, do you just want happiness, or is happiness something you earn? Now, think about it. Everybody wants happiness, but does everybody have happiness? Why is it that some people really have extreme happiness? I'm a happy guy. I walk around 99.9% of the time with a smile on my face. I'm laughing all the time. I laugh about everything. I'm a happy guy. Why is it that some people have this happiness all the time, this extreme happiness, this eternal happiness, this 99.9 happiness, and yet some people don't? Why? Let me tell you. They haven't earned it. See, happiness is something we earn. It's not something we just have. We earn happiness by doing the ways of the Lord. If we do the ways of the Lord, then we're blessed. It just works. It works every single time. And so when we're talking here about this verse, is happy or blessed shall the man be, look at Psalms 128 verse 2. It says, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Not only are you happy, things are going great. Things are going well. Things are going the way they should be going. Happy shall thou be. Now, Dad, I got to talk to you. I know it's Father's Day, and I want to encourage you and thank you for being Dad. But if your home's not happy, if something's not good in your home, if you can't get along with your wife or you can't get along with your children and you're not happy, then what the Bible is trying to teach you here is that you have ignored some knowledge. There is available knowledge, but somehow along the way you have rejected it. There is available knowledge that if you will acquire and apply to your life and to your home, you can have extreme happiness, eternal happiness. How happy do you want to be? Do you really want to be happy? Here's how a man is happy. Thus shall the man be blessed. Have you ever noticed that people that are extremely happy, eternally happy, are happy all the time, do their lives according to the ways of the Lord? Now, you can get some short-term happiness. Sin's fun for a season, but it won't give you eternal happiness and the happiness that the Bible wants you to have. Now, how many of you men agree with me with this statement that a major part of a man's happiness concerns his wife? Does anybody disagree with that? If you're a husband, if you're married, a major part of your being happy will be connected to how you and your wife relate. Psalms 128, verse 3 deals with this. It says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." Now, the Bible teaches us in word pictures. It teaches us, it gives us some words, and we see a picture with those words. Now, the picture here is it says that she is a fruitful vine. In other words, the image is, your wife is attached to the sides of your house like a grapevine, with grapes hanging off of her legs and arms. Is that the image that it wants us to have? You're happy if your wife is attached to your house like a grapevine. That's not what it's trying to show us. What it's trying to show us is what a grapevine produces. Because, see, your wife is the producer of your happiness. Now, what does a grapevine produce? A grapevine produces grapes. Imagine that. A grapevine produces grapes. And what do you do with grapes? Wine. Oh, you make wine with it. That's the primary thing that happens with grapes. Oh, you make some raisins too. But you make wine. Now, in the Bible, in Psalms 104, you can look it up, but it says that God gave us wine to make our hearts merry. Now, give us joy. What the psalmist is trying to relay to us here is that your wife has the potential and the capability to intoxicate you with happiness. She should have the potential to make you happy, to relieve stress, to numb you to the things of the world, to give you joy. See, when she is this vine, this fruitful vine that's attached to your house, you should be happy. Your children should be happy. She's attached to the house. You can come home, sir, and you've had a horrific day. And if your wife is in the ways of the Lord and you're leading your home in the ways of the Lord, then she's going to fix your horrific day. She's going to let you drink her in. And she is going to give you the happiness and the joy that you want. Your children can have a bad day at school or a bad day at wherever that they are, or just a bad day. Our kids still have some bad days sometimes, and they still come to mom. Had a young man last night didn't call me, was going through a tough time, called my wife. Why is that? Because you see, there's something that the woman can do that gives us happiness, that fixes problems. And so when our wife, when we're leading our homes in the ways of the Lord, then what we're able to do is drink that in, and she can fix things with a word. She can say something or do something that just makes life right again. Fruitful vine. And thus is the man blessed. This is what makes the man happy, when you walk in the ways of the Lord. Let me give you another thing now that the Bible tells us that happens to us. In Psalms 128, verse 3 there, it talks about children. How many know your children have a lot to do with your happiness? All right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, see? It's another thing. But happy are you, blessed are you, extremely happy are you when your children are like this. And then we get another word picture. Let's read this one. The children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, I've talked about olive trees for years and years and done research over the years. And olive trees live to be from 300 to 600 years of age. That's a long life. Well, that's not the only thing that it talks about, but I do want to read you a quote that I found recently, a fresh quote that I was able to find. And it says, in an article by Clarence H. Wagner, Jr., it says this: the trees, olive trees, were always plentiful around the countryside and are known for their tenacity. They grow in almost any condition, on terraced hills or in valleys, in rocky or fertile soil. They can thrive in great heat, with a minimum of water and are virtually indestructible. Some grow from root systems 2,000 years old. Now, the image picture that the Bible is teaching us about our children that make a home happy is that they're an olive tree. Now, what the picture is here is, of course, that they will live, your children will live long lives, they'll live healthy lives, they'll overcome any situations, they'll overcome droughts in their lives, they'll overcome storms in their lives, whether the soil is fertile or whether it's not, they're going to go on in life, they're going to be conquerors, they're going to go on in life and have long, healthy, successful lives. That's the first image that we sort of get. But then we've also got to understand what olive trees produce. What do olive trees produce? Oh, wow. You're a smart bunch. Olive trees produce olives. Now, with olives, you can eat the olives. You can eat the, you know, the green ones and the ripe ones. And you can have these olives. But that's not the primary thing that olives are used for. Olives are primarily used to make olive oil, right? Olive oil is for cooking. Olive oil was also for medicinal purposes. We read in Luke, where the Good Samaritan poured oil and wine into the wounds. So what we find is that olive also has medicinal purposes. Your children should do healing in your home. They should provide for you substance to eat upon and to enjoy in your life. But another thing is that they anoint. Their oil was used for anointing oil. Let me read you this. From Psalms 45:7, it says, "Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Oil of gladness. Your children should be oil of gladness for you, not oil of sadness. It's so sad when I see that children cause parents sadness. A home that's happy are going to have children that are like olive trees that are producing an oil of gladness. Now, my children, our children, have always done that to us. When they were little, or especially now, they've always produced in our homes a gladness. And now it's to a place where they are home. If they're not there, then something's amiss with the home. Today, after service, we're going home. And we're going to grill steaks, and we're going to cook some fry some fish and bake some fish. And all of my children will be there. My daughter-in-law, my son-in-law, and all my grandchildren. I like olive trees. Bringing me gladness. Now, this is what I want you to see, that when home is right and when we walk in the ways of the Lord and we do it the Lord's way, happy is the guy. Happy is the home. When we really grab the knowledge that God's given to us and that's available to us, we can have a happy home. It says, "Thus shall a man be blessed." Now, in Psalms 128, verse 6, let me share this one with you. It's at the very end of the psalm, and it says, "Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children." Now, I realize that many of you haven't accomplished that part of your life yet. I hope I haven't accomplished all of it yet. But your grandchildren bring you a joy and a happiness that you cannot describe. You try to, and you can. And all the grandparents said, well, okay. Most of the grandparents said, it's a sad thing when that's not the case. When that little life loves you and wants to play with you and wants to be with you, it's an amazing thing. Happy is the man who gets to see his children's children, who wants to see them, who the children's children want to see the grandparents. My grandchildren want to see me. I want to see them. It brings a happiness that nothing else can really touch. It's a happiness. And then Psalms 128 verse 4 says this, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed." This is the way the happy person lives. This is what makes a man happy. A wife who can intoxicate him that he can drink in with her happiness. Children who are like olive trees that anoint him, that make him look good, that are medicinal to him. Children whose lives he can feed upon. It's the guy who loves to see his grandchildren and loves to for his grandchildren to see him. Now, I need to ask you a question. I told you earlier that males can produce children. But what is it that a father produces? Jesus said this, "You can know a tree by its fruit." What fruit is it that I can look at your life and know if you're a male or if you're a father? It's your fruit, but what is the fruit? See, I want to make it clear to you. I want us all to go out of here with an understanding of what it is. What is the difference between a male and a father? How can I really be a father, a biblical father, a godly father is another way of saying that. I want to talk to you about what I believe is the major challenge a man has in his home. Again, we talked about the woman's challenge last time. We're going to talk about the man's challenge this time because we knew that this whole thing was going to fall across the time of Father's Day. So we saved this message for this particular day. Now, here is what I have learned over my years of ministry, 20 years of pastoring, my personal life, and observing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. The thing that you need to know, sir, is that you control the atmosphere of your home. Now, let me work. Now, we want to blame that on the wife. She's frigid or she's not frigid, whatever. We want to blame it on her. But in reality, and I'm going to show you, but I'm going to prove it to you, you control the atmosphere of your home. Therefore, the atmosphere that you give to your home is the atmosphere that you get back. What you give, you will receive back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, if it's not that way, I'm going to show you, if it's not that way in your home, if you don't control the atmosphere of the home, then there is a role reversal. Another way of saying this is that in that aspect, you have become the woman. Hang with me. This is the thing that I've observed over the years. Men don't realize they control the atmosphere of the home. And by controlling the atmosphere of the home, then they're going to control where the home, what the home does, the joy, the happiness, the peace, or the horror of a home. All right. Let's work. Let me show you what I mean. Now, in a home, here's a scenario. Everything in the home is fine. The children are playing, they're having a good time. Mom's watching the kids play, or she's sewing, or she's cooking, or she's doing something, and there's peace in the home. And then Dad walks in. Now, when you walk in the home, Dad, what happens? Does it bring an excitement, and it's like a summer breeze that comes through the house, or is it like an Arctic blast? Or where in between is it? See, we, whether we want to admit it or not, control the home. We control the atmosphere of the home by how we go in, what we do. Now, I'm not saying that there will never be winter in your home. But I know that winter doesn't last all year. And I know that spring follows winter. And if your home is cold and unenjoyable and sad all the time, then there's some knowledge that you've rejected. And there's some things that you need to get a hold of. Because you control the atmosphere of your home. Now let me work here a little bit and just show you some things over the next few minutes. There's a principle that's woven into creation. It's a principle that we all relate to, we all understand. So by using this principle, it's one way that I'll show you, and then I'll show you through scriptures as well. But there's a principle that's woven into creation, and it's simply this. The husband is the giver, and the wife is the receiver. A man is designed to give, a woman is designed to receive, and here's the kicker now. And what this giving and receiving produces, the offspring that it produces, are our children. The giver comes together with the receiver, and the product of that is the children. And whether it's good or bad children, it's still because of the giver and the receiver coming together. No place in scriptures does it ever say anything about the woman being the giver. The man is always the giver. The wife always receives. She receives the atmosphere that you give her, and she'll take that atmosphere and give it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You give her grief. Now, you know I'm telling the truth. You give her grief, what do you get back? Grief, good measure, pressed down. You give her love, what do you get back? Kind of simple, isn't it? She takes what you give her, and she gives it back to you, multiplied. The man is the giver. And this is obvious by looking at how God created us physically. You are physically designed, sir, to give. Your wife, every woman, is physically designed to receive. That's how God made us. Creation shows that. Adam gave a rib. What did Adam get back? A woman. Woman. Adam gave Eve a seed. What did Adam get back? A child. An apple. No. That's a good answer from you, Faith. That was good. You got the principle? Sir, you're a giver. And you give an atmosphere, whether you want to or not. That's how you're designed. That's just the way it works. It's the ways of our God. And we understand the ways of our God, just like we understand there's 24 hours in every day, and you can't change that. The ways of God is that you are the giver. And whatever you give, you're going to receive back again. Creation proves that. And the wife and the children will give you back exactly what you gave them, except it will be in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You give them what they want and what they're supposed to be given, and you'll get back a home. You give them the other stuff, and you'll get back a hell. Now, many homes today, it goes something like this. And it used to be my home, okay? And sometimes probably still is. I just don't want to talk about it now. But because it's the main thing that we face. It's the main thing we have to constantly deal with ourselves about. The guy comes home, and he's worked all day, and he is tired. And he walks in with this atmosphere. Would you say attitude? This atmosphere. And he walks in and he says, I'm tired. I want peace. What does that say? Children, go to your rooms. Give me my throne, my recliner. Give me the remote. Give me food. Give me love. Give me. And you have set the atmosphere for that home. And when we go into this giving mode, when we move into this giving thing, we have reversed roles. And we've become the woman, and we're asking her to give us. And we're created to be the giver, not only to her, but to our children. And so we create this atmosphere, and then we wonder why our wife doesn't make us happy. We wonder why our children cause us problems and are in rebellion. We wonder why our grandkids won't come see us. You've created the atmosphere, and it's coming back to you now. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, bless God, I'm the man, and the Bible says, my home is my castle. Nope, Bible doesn't say that. Nowhere in there. Well, I know it says this. She's supposed to reverence me, my wife is, and she's supposed to reverence me, and she's supposed to obey me, and she's supposed to honor me. And my kids, they're supposed to obey me. I know the Bible says that. You're right. You are absolutely right. The Bible does say that. But it's after you give. That's what you get back. That's not what you're entitled to. That's not what you've earned. That's not what you're going to get back because you've not earned that yet. You've got to give something to earn that. If it's going to come back to you, you've got to give the receiver what they need, and then they will give back to you what you need back. What you're supposed to get back. Let me show you. What your wife, you've got to give your wife is love. Now, that's big. It's more than a word. What you got to give your children is discipline and instruction. Let me show you biblically. Let's let the Bible show this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 says this. Husbands, do what? Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself up for her. The way he loved her was by giving her himself. And I'm going to talk about that more later. Ephesians 6:4 says concerning children, and now a word to you fathers, don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. You're treating them wrong. Angry children means you've treated them wrong. That doesn't mean they're not going to get upset with you when we discipline them. If we properly discipline them, they will get upset with us, but they won't be like this angry person. Rather, bring them up, give them the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Now, I'm going to talk about both those verses as I close. Now, I want you to hear me. The serve me, give me, obey me attitude is not godly. You are not a godly husband or a godly father if that's your attitude. If that's the atmosphere that you create. Let me show you biblically. Show you scripture after scripture after scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself, speaking of Jesus, for our sins. Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 4:8, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for many. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us. But what you to see from all of that is that if you're godly, you give. This is what Father God does. This is what Lord Jesus does. This is the way it works. The Lord Jesus gave himself. Husbands give. We're givers. We're created that way. And when we give the proper thing, we get back the proper happiness. We get back what we want to have. We guys are givers. And whether you like it or not, that's the ways of God. It's like, you might not like a 24-hour day, but that's the way it is. You can't change it. You can't change that you're a giver. This is the ways of our Lord. Now, the thing I want to talk about now is what do husbands give? What are we supposed to give to our wives to make our homes happy? To have a fruitful vine that intoxicates us with happiness. What are we supposed to give our children where they anoint us? What is it that we give them where they anoint us and make us look good and are medicinal to us and help us? What is it? Well, let's talk about these two things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. I read the verse, but let's dissect and teach it just a little bit here. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Here's how he loved her. He gave himself for it. Now, sir, your wife enjoys flowers and candy and cards, but do you know what she really wants from you? What you really need to give her is yourself. Jesus gave himself. That's how he loved the church. Cards and candy and all that's wonderful. But you need to give her some good time. Some quality time. Some of your best time. You need to give her your attention. She needs to know that you're really listening to her when she's talking. I'll fess up. I remember I was sharing something with, I think it was the elders back there when we were praying before service. I remember a time I was sitting in my throne and Judy was sitting in her chair and she's talking to me. And I start listening to her to start with, and then I'm busy doing what I'm doing. Finally, she says, "Delbert, are you listening to me? Delbert, are you listening to me? Delbert, if you're listening to me, say something." Finally, she stands up, walks, "Delbert, are you listening to me?" I wasn't listening. And you see, what we're going to get back then is not what we want to get back. She needs our attention. She needs to know that we're really caring about her life and her day and her trials and things that are on her heart. She needs that. She needs to be given. She needs you to give her love for her children. She needs to know that you love her children. She needs you, sir, to give proper discipline and instructions approved by the Lord to her children. That's what you need to give her. And if you will give her those things, you won't have a hell to go home to. You'll have a fruitful vine. You're going to have children that anoint you and bring you gladness. What she needs from you is you loving her and giving her that kind of love. If you will, you'll have a home that's happy. You'll be a happy man. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And thus shall a man be blessed. In Luke 6:38, it says this. I keep saying the scripture. Let me show it to you. If you give, this is from the New Living Translation. It says, "If you give, you will receive." It's impossible to give and not receive. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure. You're going to get back what you gave, but it's going to be pressed down, shaken together. And look at this. I like the way the New Living Translation puts this. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, good or bad, to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. Now, it's Father's Day, and I want to end our time. I want to talk these next few moments that we have together simply about fathers. I asked you earlier, and I told you that males can produce children, but what is it that a father produces? What is the fruit? By definition, the term father means you have fathered children, but not simply sired them, but that you have fathered, you've trained them, you've instructed them, you've done what a father does. You've created children. According to the Bible, a biblical father is a father, a man who rears his children up in the ways of God. They are obedient children. They're not rebellious children. They're not problem children. They're children who love you, who respect authority, to go forth in life and be successful. That is what the definition of a father would be. But what is it? As a giver, what is it? If I'm a giver, what do I give that will produce what I want to produce for my children to make me a father? Ephesians 6:4 says this, "And now a word to the fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with," in other words, give them the discipline and instruction, here's the key, "approved by the Lord." See, to the real father, I must give proper discipline. Discipline that is approved by the Lord. Now, how do you discipline your children? Do you discipline your children? How do you do it? If you're a father, then you must discipline your children. But you do it not out of anger. You do it out of love. And you do it in a way that is in accordance, approved by the Lord. How does the Lord say to discipline your children? If you're going to be a happy man, if you're going to have extreme happiness, if you're going to have children who anoint you, children who you can feast upon, children who brings gladness to your home, then what you've got to do is properly discipline them according to the way of the Lord. How do you do it? Now, the Bible's pretty clear here. And we may be talking about it a little bit this next week. I encourage you, if you're going to discipline them according to the ways of the Lord, do it with wisdom. Don't do it in Walmart. Hello? And if you do it correctly, you won't have to do it very long. I think it was Bonnie. Was it Bonnie that was saying that? That you were relaying that to me, that she doesn't remember any spankings after 5 or 6 years old or something like that. No, she probably got a few. She got a bunch before that. Lance, probably the same thing. See, if you do it when they're children, when they're little, you don't have a lot to do later. You discipline them according to the ways of the Lord. How does the Lord instruct us to discipline our children? That's the correct way of doing it. Not out of Arctic blast, you know. Then he says another thing here that I'm about to finish up with here. The other thing that it says that the father must do if he's going to be a father is to give instruction to the children that is approved by the Lord. It's not only discipline. It's instruction. Now, instruction isn't telling a child to do something 100 times. That's orders. Right? Instruction, giving a child instruction, is instructing them. Okay, when Lance was little, I taught Lance how to play ball. I instructed him how to play baseball. Did I just tell him how to do it and order him to do it? No. I gave him a bat, I gave him a ball, I gave him a glove, I went out in the front yard, I pitched and pitched and pitched and hit and hit and ran and ran and I instructed him how to play ball. Instruction is not ordering. Instruction is taking quality time and spending with your children. If you will take quality time and instruct them according to the ways of the Lord, you will have children that adore you, children that are there for you, children that make you look good, they anoint you, children that you can feast upon, children that you really enjoy being at your house. Now, you can do it your way. It won't work. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If your home isn't happy, there's a reason. It's not because the knowledge isn't available. It's because we haven't grasped it. We haven't taken it. We've rejected it. So Ephesians says that if you are going to be a father, the fruit of the father is proper discipline and instruction. How can I tell? I can look at how you discipline your children. I can look at how you instruct your children. That's the fruit of a father. You love me, don't you guys? I mean, okay. You're bigger than me, so. All right. Let me wind up here, and I'm done. So my friends, my buddies, my brothers in Christ, are you walking in the ways of the Lord? Is your home happy? Are you about as happy as you can be, or is there a lot of room for improvement? Is your wife a fruitful vine who intoxicates you with happiness, who fixes your wounds, who brings you joy? Are your children olive trees who anoint you and make you look good, who you enjoy feasting upon, who you enjoy being around? Do you love seeing your grandchildren? Do your grandchildren love seeing you? Is all of this making you happy? I want it to. Please don't ignore this. God's giving us information, knowledge, and if we will take it and not be ignorant anymore about it, we can create an atmosphere that we can give to our homes, to our wives, to our children, and they're going to give it back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and you will be a happy guy. Psalms 128 verse 4 says this, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed." My title, this is how a man is happy. And you can build a home and not a hell. I guarantee it. How many receive this today? You love the Lord? Amen. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to bless you. I just don't want to get up here and, you know, and make you think about all your negatives. I want to applaud you. You guys are some of the greatest dads I've ever seen. You love your children. You know, your Walmart dads. That was something somebody gave me a title for this about a Walmart dad, you know. You're really loving your kids. And I so appreciate all you do here and what you do for me and what you do for the church. And you got great kids. So let me applaud you, but let me encourage you at the same time and admonish you. Listen, be a father who disciplines the way of the Lord and who instructs the way of the Lord and who builds their home according to the way of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. With eyes closed, heads bowed. Maybe your home's not too good. It's not going real well. And you would say, "Pastor, you know, man, I see some areas in my life that I really need to apply the knowledge of God in. I want a wife who does intoxicate me with happiness, and I want my children to be like that and make me look good, not bad, not cause me problems, but really encourage me and be blessings to me. And I want to be a happy man, and I'm not real happy right now. But I believe I can be. And I'm going to make a decision today that I'm going to fix some things. I am going to be the atmosphere creator. I'm going to control the atmosphere in my home in a very positive way." If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and just encourage me? Man, I see you. Put them down. Good. Any others? For the rest of us, what I want you to do is just make sure, you know, that you take this knowledge and apply it to your home. Apply right now. It's never too late. Now, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Listen, you'll never have a happy home without Him. You're only going to live in a hell continuously all your life. If you don't know Jesus, come to Him today. There's never a better day. And if this is you, you'll know because your heart's beating fast and your hands are a little sweaty, and you know that God's calling you and talking to you. So if this is you, would you slip your hand up and say, "Yep, I need Jesus in my life, and I need Him right now." Would you slip your hand up? I see you. See your hand. Amen. Any others?